We still live in this world, and every day that you live is not going to be a victorious day. It's not because the Lord's not able to give you victory, but it's because of our warfare. I tell every young Christian that'll let me, you're going to go into a warfare, and none of us understands it. Now, if you think you understand the Christian warfare, you go read about the first two chapters of Job, and then you explain that to me. Oh, I know what happened. I know what happened. But I don't know why. And you know, I know what happened later on is to give us encouragement to overcome adversities. But there was a man after God's own heart. And he just began to get bad news. And boy, you think you've had bad news. Well, you get what he got. But he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed is the name of the Lord. And that's the attitude that God wants us to have. Now, I know we have adversities, and I'm not poking any kind of criticism at anybody that's trying to get over adversity. But I'm just saying that's life. And we rest in Him. See? And Psalm said, if we seek the Lord with all of our heart, that He will give us the desires of our heart. See? And like Brother Chris said, are we satisfied with where we are? Now, I don't mean satisfied with that I've done enough for the Lord, but I mean, are we content? I am content. In my prayers every day, I try to say, God, we are so blessed in what we have. We are so blessed in what we have. I don't know that any of you in here have been across to other parts of the world. And I have not been to the Orient. I have not been to Asia. But I went to Europe right after World War II. And I was glad to get home. Now, they had some freedoms because American troops had gone in there and blown away that bad administration they had and installed what we call democracy. And they had some, but they still don't have what we got. See? Here's the mindset. That's why they're having trouble in South America. Here's the mindset. They don't know what freedom feels like. And when they come over here, instead of them coming over here wanting to enjoy American freedom, they want to come over here and bring their bad government with them and their gods. See, America did pretty good as long as we let people come in here and said, look, you're not bringing Buddha in here. You're not bringing Mohammed in here. But when our civil rights people begin to say, oh, they got a right. They don't have a right. They got liberty, but they don't have a right. But our good politicians has, down through the years, educated our young people. That's why. Now, I didn't know I was going to do this, but I guess I've got the school system in my sights this morning. They are teaching young people socialism. And they are stressing it in college. Everybody know what socialism is? You don't own nothing. The government owns it all, and they'll give you what you need as you need it. The only problem with that, it never has worked. Because the low people on the totem pole gets nothing, and the high people get to drive Cadillacs and live in fancy suites because they're in charge. That's right. So, I know I'm speaking to the choir this morning, but it just appalls me at how quickly we have left some of the tenets that God gave this nation. I have to get away from it because I get angry. And can I say this to you? Not not because I'm holy, but because I see it's deteriorating so fast, I can't even watch national news. I get angry. I get in the flesh pretty quick. And I wanna take weapons of a carnal warfare pretty quick. And Paul said, don't do that. That's what we've got. That's right. Well, I'm glad you're here this morning. I'm in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I got down to verse 8. And so let me start there and see if we can get a thought to you this morning. Paul is telling Timothy here, for bodily exercise profiteth little. I didn't say it didn't profit anything. I said it profiteth a little. So that means, you know, if you don't get some exercise at your work, you might ought to exercise a little. Some people walk if you feel like it. But that's not, Paul said that's not really, really important. Let's read on. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of life, that is now, and that which is to come. So now, what gives us a good life now? Godliness. See? Godliness. And that works even in the government realm. See, I say this all the time, and I think it's right. Good, godly morals won't save your soul, but they'll save your nation. Now, you think about that. What was Moses telling Israel all through the book of Deuteronomy? What was he telling them to do? That it might be well with you in the earth. What was he telling them to do? Don't leave God. Don't leave God. Don't leave God. Don't leave God. Remember to do the commandments. Now, we get in the New Testament, and Paul said, the law never saved anybody's soul, but it'll save your nation. And you, for you younger people, let me assure you that our forefathers that you read about, I hope you read about them, that formed our government, formed our Constitution, took the law of Moses for a pattern. What do you think any government gets? Murder is a crime. Where do you think they get that? Huh? Where'd that come from? Where'd that come from? Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Where'd that come from? Now, was God wasting ink when he put that on the tables, or wasting his grooves in the clay tablets or whatever, stone tablets? Was he wasting his time when he wrote that? So law, now, first of all, why did anybody need a law? Why did Israel need a law? That's right. God blessed them, said, I'm going to give you, Abraham, I'm going to give you a great nation, and I'm going to bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And I just noticed he told Abraham that three times. He told Isaac once, so you think he meant it? See what I mean? That's why I'm glad to see our president's opening place of council over in Jerusalem. Embassy. That's right. That's a blessing to Israel. That helps establish them in the world. Somebody said, well, most of them ain't saved. Oh, I know they're not saved yet. But God hadn't forgot his promise to Abraham. He hadn't forgot that. He emphasized it in the book of Genesis, and most of y'all know that. All right. So godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that is now, that now is. See? It's good to have godliness nowadays. See? But besides that, and of that which is to come, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. Now that's not a Calvinistic verse. That's just telling us, Paul is admonishing Timothy here to labor, and he's gonna, now if you labor for the Lord, you will suffer reproach. You will. And it's been that way since Timothy. See? Now, if you don't think you'll suffer reproach, you go down to Walmart, stand there in the aisle, and go talking to people about Jesus. You'll find somebody in a minute to sash you out pretty good. You find anybody down to Oklahoma County Courthouse that sashed you out, any?
A Hebrew Israelite.
There you go. You see what I mean? Now, Paul is not saying this to Timothy to get him upset. He has said it so Timothy will know and be prepared for it. See? Now, I might say this, and I just say it in asking us. If you were down at the courthouse passing out tracts or talking to somebody and they spit on you, could you take it? Could you take it? I'm not trying to get out in left field. I'm just asking you. See, that's the way we can check ourselves. And see, you know, what kind of attitude do I have? See? Now, you're a Adamic man. I know what he wants to do. But see, that is what Paul is addressing right here with Timothy. And he says, because we trust in the living God, not a living God, the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. Now, that's a good verse. What does that mean? What does that mean? Especially them that believe. Well, God gave Jesus Christ as a love gift to Adam's race. Now, you think about that. You think about that. See, I tell people all the time, the thing that Americans that's not saved, the thing they fail to see most of the time is depravity. You go talking to them, they're just not depraved. They either got they'll come at you two ways. Why did God do so and so? And they're lost. And they don't even, you know, why did God do that? Or they will say, well, I'm a pretty good person. You just don't know me. Well, wait a minute. Paul said, by nature, we were enemies of God. You've got to be careful with that. God's not our enemy, but we's God's enemy. Do you remember the time when you had a place in your life when somebody would mention God to you, that your attitude was, I'm my own person. I don't want nobody telling me what to do. Oh, you never did have that? Come on now. Of course you had it. That was called rebellion. We didn't know it. But see, everybody's depraved. Now, y'all know that. They don't know that at Walmart. They don't know they're depraved. They don't even know what depravity is. Depravity means when God looks at us, there is no good at all that He would merit us. There's no merit in me toward when God looks at me. See? Oh, I know we're teaching a lesson this morning on to be godly. But you couldn't be, you can't be godly till God puts His Spirit in your heart. Now you can be moral, and that's good. I brag on moral people. I like that, but it won't save you. See what I mean? But he's the Savior of all men. What does that mean? That means what the writer of Hebrews said, Christ, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Now you get some Calvinist people, and some of them believe in limited atonement. I don't believe in limited atonement. The atonement that Jesus made on Calvary was for all people. Can I say this to you? Even for Abel? See? Jesus died for all. So as far as God's concerned, he is the Savior of all men, but God has got a requirement. In our dispensation, you must repent. What is repentance? Repentance is telling God with a broken heart what he already knows about you. See? And I meet people all the time. I'm a pretty good feller. I'm a pretty good guy. And I just read where David said, man, his best state's altogether vanity. Best state, that means them good people, them good guys. See, not us sorry people, them good guys. When God looks at them, they're vanity. What does that mean? It means they're depraved. That don't mean they couldn't get saved if they would. See? Because Jesus Christ tasted death for every man. See? And I would hope that sinners could get enough message to God, from God, that they would look up to God and say, due to my seeking God, did Jesus Christ die for me in vain? See? Now that's up to you. Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. And I know he was talking about law stuff. But Paul said, all that will, let him come. God commands all men everywhere to repent. Now let me ask a question right there. People that die and go to hell, in their lifetime, if they reach state of accountability, was God's commandment for them to repent? Sure. Sure it was. Paul said, seek the Lord, if haply you might find him. He's not very far from every one of us. Didn't he say that? Okay, he's the Savior of all men, but he's especially the Savior of those that believe. See? That means it's what the old-time preachers used to call effective. It's effective what between you and God. The message of God is effective. See? Some people, you know, they hear the gospel and they go the other way. It's not effective to them. Now, I want to ask a question right there. Is that God's fault? Nope. That's right. And you know, God, and some fellow said, well, said, does man have a free will? Yes. But see, your will is to do what you want to, not what you ought to do. Don't ever forget that. I think there was a fellow one time wrote a book, and I think some of y'all know the title of it. It was called The Bondage of the Will. Bondage of the will. In other words, men are in bondage to their own will until the Holy Spirit takes the gospel and breaks your will. See? It's just natural for us to want to be, hey, I'm doing pretty good. I'm me. I'm a pretty good feller. And I'm not driving out at anybody, but that's what Adam gave us. You get that naturally from Adam. We grow up with it. All right? Now, Paul told Timothy in verse 11, these things command and teach. He was telling Timothy, teach others what I'm telling you. Jesus Christ, Savior of all men. It's up to them. See? Now, I tell you what, as I go through life, I meet people and I'm reminded so much of what a preacher in Tennessee says. He said, every good doctrine has got two ditches. And when you get out and go to examining people in religion, what we call Christian religion, and I'm not talking about saved people, I'm talking about American Christian religion. They're either Calvinistic, that means God's done chose you from eternity to eternity, so don't worry about it. Yep. Or they're free willism. You just believe anytime you want to. You just believe anytime you want to. One fella said, are you Calvinistic or Arminian? I said, I'm not either one. I'm a Baptist. And now when they ask you that, they're springing a trap for you. So get ready. All right, verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. People want to know how to live a Christian life. Read that. Do we need to get in a corner sometime and find out how we're doing before God? Go read that scripture. Are we an example of believers in the Word? In our conversation? You'll talk to somebody about Jesus at the grocery store, they'll let you go out first. You go up to the checkout line. Now, if you want to talk about the Oklahoma Sooners, you'll gang up a crowd. And they'll want to know what you think about the Sooners. Or they'll ask you, Tigers. They'll want to know about them. But they don't want to know anything about that man called Jesus. Because I'm okay. I'm already okay. I don't need that Jesus stuff. Well, you say, how come them to feel that way? The devil has got them deceived. The devil plays your nature. He plays your nature. And I say this all the time. My people here has heard me say it several times. Let me say it again. When you get saved, I'm talking about born again, sins removed, God forgot what you used to be. But the devil didn't. Come on now. The devil didn't. Yeah. That's right. You say, why does he do that? Because it's his job to try to untrack Christians and keep sinners from hearing the gospel. Now, the devil does a good job. My old pastor used to say, the devil does a good job of what God's permitted him to do. See? I imagine some of you Christians has been in church on the front seat, maybe, and you've had an evil thought just sitting there, and you'd say, where did that come from? Have you? Where'd it come from? The devil. He ain't turned you loose yet as much as he's got influence over you now. Now, God has given us faith and he's given us Jesus Christ so that we can defeat the devil. But you ain't perfect yet. See? I don't know why God pleased him to leave us down here in these bodies and fight this kind of warfare, but he did. That's why we have this instruction here, how to handle it. That's what I'm trying to do this morning, is tell me and you how to handle it. See? Be thou example to the believer, of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity. Now, charity's got a few more facets than just giving. Charity means really to love people. Sometimes, I'm confessing, I have a problem with that. Do you ever have a problem with that? In spirit, in faith, in purity. There's Christian life. You want to know how to live a Christian life? There it is. Till I come, give attendance to reading. Reading what? TV guide? No. Reading the Word. Reading the Word. To exhortation, to doctrine. Now, what kind of doctrine are we supposed to believe? You're looking kind of funny. Oh, we're supposed to believe the doctrine of Brother so-and-so. Not if he's not teaching the Bible, you ain't. You're supposed to believe the doctrine that's written in this book. See? Doctrine's written in this book. In the Great Commission, Jesus says, all power is given unto me, both in heaven and earth. That's Matthew 28. Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every nation. I'm paraphrasing a little bit there. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end. Who is he talking to? Who is he talking to? The church. So a church has got a gospel ministry. They do that in various ways, preaching in an auditorium, sending out missionaries. They got a baptizing ministry, baptize them at Believe. Sometimes we baptize some that hadn't believed. Now we do that, we don't do that intentionally, but you know, people come, yeah, I got saved, I need to get baptized. You baptize them, and in 6 months you can't find them with a 5-cell flashlight and a search warrant. See? Say, well, are they lost? I don't know. But they're not doing what this said. And I know young people's got to be taught. I know that. I'm for that. All right. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. What does the word exhort mean? Anybody know what the word exhort means?
Encourage.
Encourage. Young Christians, old Christians, middle-aged Christians need to be encouraged. You know one thing that encourages me? See you come to church. Yep. Okay, now here's to young Timothy. Paul is saying 14, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by the presbytery, by prophecy, with the laying on the hands of the presbytery. Oh boy, what does that mean? Well, does that mean that group on the presbytery give Paul and Timothy, does that mean that gave him a calling to preach? No. But when they have examined them and found them fit for the ministry. Now, who does this? The church. found that they do what? Well, basically they do what we've just read this morning. Then they lay their hands on the presbytery. Now, what kind of gift does that give them? Well, if they're called, they're called to preach. Preachers in churches don't call people to preach or do, but when they have a presbytery, that means that the elders are laying their hands on them for a blessing of the ministry that's in that young man. It's ordination. It's what we call ordination. See? So Paul is saying, now look, you preached, and I'm giving you instructions, and you remember that the presbytery laid their hands on you for encouragement. See? That means them older people is going to encourage that younger preacher to keep on keeping on. Well, keep on doing what? What we've read up here. Word, conversation, charity, spirit, and faith and purity. See? That's what they should preach. Now the gospel, as we understand the gospel, and we talk, you know, you hear us talk about evangelists and pastors. Well, some men are given to evangelism. And that's up to them. I can't tell them what they're called for. God tells them. Some men are given to pastor. Some men are given to mission work. See? And they're ordained. Somebody, somewhere of a presbytery put their hands on them and gave them a blessing. And the way I've already always done it, the way I've always seen it done, out here where we operate, a church that's going to ordain somebody invites preachers and deacons into an ordination, and they call that the presbytery. And they question the candidate. And if he passes the questions according to the way the presbytery sees things, they recommend to the church that the ordination proceed. I think I told you recently, I had a good brother down at Colgate. They went to church, and they'd laid this fella aside and let him preach a while, and the church thought he was ready. And they called a presbytery in, and they got to question him, and they said, well, do you believe in the security of the believer? Do you believe once somebody's saved, are they always saved from then on? And the candidate said, well, I don't know, so there's a possibility they could lose it. Now, I said that to say this. The presbytery recommended the church not ordain him, and they didn't. That's the way I've seen it happen. But I wasn't there when that happened. But I've been to ordinations. So laying on the hands of presbytery. Verse 15, meditate upon these things. So you don't just read it, meditate upon it. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. See? There again, preachers, Christians, deacons, you need to have a good report of them that's without. You cannot witness to people if you don't have a good testimony to them that's without. What does that mean, Brother Glenn? That means you live as clean a life as you know according to the Word of God. Why? For the work's sake. Now also, you know, if I had time, I could go into the judgment seat of Christ on that a little bit, but I don't have time, so I'm going ahead. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Well, that's works for salvation, isn't it? No. You'll save yourself a lot of trouble getting in trouble with God. Not, he's not talking about your soul right there. Okay? You do these things I've said, for in doing this thou shalt save, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. See? Now, nobody ever gets saved listening to fairy tales. Nobody ever gets saved listening to jokes. It's the gospel. It pleased God by the preaching of the gospel to save them that would believe. Say, well, who's going to believe? Well, if you're talking about the foreknowledge of God, I don't know, but he knows. So you get back into that foreknowledge and predestination and stuff like that. That's not a mystery. We make it a mystery. God foreknows everything. And I don't care what Benny Hinn says. God didn't tell us the end from the beginning exactly. Now he gave us a little outline, but he didn't tell us the details. Don't we ask everybody all the time, what do you think is going to happen in the millennial? What you, oh, yeah. Well, we can look at it, and we can surmise this and surmise that, but that don't mean it's that way. I think when the end of time comes and we get called into New Jerusalem, there's going to be a lot of things happen that we don't know about. See? And it's okay to talk about it, I think. It's okay to discuss it, but we really don't know. Okay, I'm out of time. Anybody got a comment? Okay, thank you. How many Bibles?